Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night. Time for Wednesday night Bible study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And I have to start off with saying that it is an honor as well as a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. I'm excited about tonight, as I am about every Wednesday night, and I hope you feel the same way and that you've been prayerful for our Bible study for tonight, and praying that God will do what the Word is sent out to do in our lives. As always, I like to give you the title of the lesson, and the title of the lesson tonight is God Uses Everyone That He Has Created for His Glory. You know, everything that God created has a purpose. There's nothing that He created that didn't have a purpose. So we have to keep that in mind. And I come to tell each and every one of you tonight that you do have a purpose. And our lesson is coming from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. I'm going to go ahead and play a song. And I thought the song was appropriate because we'll see in the book of Acts how God gave power to the people. He allowed himself to be indwelled in the believers so that they could have power in the midst of their storms and battles. And the record I'm going to play is, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord. And you have to realize that things going on in your life, some of the things you can't fix, some of the things you won't understand, but God is in control, and He wants the best for you. And you have to wait on Him. Just hold on to His unchanging hand and trust Him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. That, you know, sometimes we feel like it's just so much and we are really going through. But in most instances, you're not going through, but you're going to where God wants you to be. So tonight, I just want to encourage each and every one of you, no matter what is going on in your life right now, it could be something that you have no control of, but I want you to know that God will see you through. And whatever it is, if it's the Lord's will, this too shall pass. So listen to the song. Start getting your heart and your mind ready to receive the Word of God. And we'll come back with prayer, and we'll go into the lesson.
What are you trying to say, Yolanda? Look, forget about all that other junk. This battle ain't yours. It's the Lord. Think about it. And then start shouting. If you don't understand anything, know that you've been set up by God to be blessed. Understand that it's got to work this way. Understand that God knows.
God knows. God knows what you need before you really need it.
He knows how to move you. He knows how to take you around the enemy. He knows how to hide you in the comfort of his arms. You'll have peace that passes understanding. You'll have joy like a river ever flowing. This battle is not yours. No. Tell the devil.
He's just good like that. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. It's time to go to the throne of grace, and always there's an offer for someone to lead us in prayer. If anyone would like to do that at this time, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, we'll go into the throne, to the throne of grace, and we'll get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have afforded us an opportunity to come to your throne of grace and mercy to receive what you have for us on tonight. And Lord, all I can say is thank you. Thank you, God, because you're such a good God, a loving and a kind God. Thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your son, and I thank you for your spirit, Lord, because you realize that we wouldn't be able to fight these battles in our lives, but you have entrusted your spirit to indwell within us that we can live and be and achieve and receive the things of God. Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for the listeners that has called in, and thank you for the ones that were calling in before and maybe stopped. Thank you for the ones that you're going to send, because in your word you say if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. And, Lord, all I can say is thank you. I thank you, dear God, for not allowing us to walk this walk alone, for not allowing us to have to depend only on ourselves. I want to thank you. Thank you, dear God, for everything that you have done. I thank you for what you're doing right now. And I thank you for what you promised to do. And I believe it, dear God. And this is my hope. Lord, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Thank you for your financial blessing. Thank you for the reasonable portion of health and strength that you give us daily. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, dear God, that we are trying to understand, learn, and apply it in our lives to become our moral compass. Thank you. Heavenly Father, all of these blessings and everything that you want to happen on tonight, Lord, I pray that I decrease as the Holy Ghost increase, that he will use this unworthy vessel to give a message to his people. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, since so many more callers have called in, the topic of our lesson tonight is God uses everyone he created for his glory. We're going to be in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. And I'm going to go ahead and give a little background now, and we're going to go into the word. Last week, we finished the four Gospels. You remember we did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You should remember that each book was designed and orchestrated that you could see the different aspects of Jesus Christ. Matthew's presented him one way, Mark another, and then Luke did, and then John did, and God used those four Gospels to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Gospels will never be the same to you and that you understand the purpose for them. So tonight we in the book of Acts. The book we in now, Jesus Christ has been crucified, buried, and was raised from the dead. And he, after some period of time and showing himself to so many people, he ascended to heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. You see, Jesus could be our intercessor because, you know, he walked the earth as a human. So the trials and tribulations that's in this world, on this earth, he experienced them firsthand. So you can't say, you know how certain things happen, say you can't imagine how I feel. You're not even afforded the privilege to tell that to Jesus. And Jesus endured more than we did on this earth, so we really can't do it. You see, when Jesus left, he said he would not leave us comfortless. And Jesus now allows his spirit to indwell and all of us who accept his offer for him to become our Savior. You see, the book of Acts was written by Luke. It's the same Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke, physician. But you see, Acts is a sequel to his gospel, the Gospel according to Luke. You see, Acts is an accurate historical record of the early church. So when you think about the books in the Bible and the category that they belongs in, the first four books is called the Gospel. The book of Acts is the book of history for the New Testament. The book of Acts begins with the outpouring of the promise of the Holy Spirit and the commencement of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the Spirit inspired evangelism began in Jerusalem and it eventually spread to Rome. You see what happened. Let's look at this for a little while. Jesus did the Gospels, and he taught, preached, and whatever. And then you remember when Jesus told Peter while he was living, he said, Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail them. Well, prevail him. So Jesus was talking about establishing a church, and he said he would do it with Peter. So now Jesus is gone. Now, up until Jesus died, well, let me not say that. Let me think. Before Jesus died, you know, they weren't asking people to accept the death, burial, and resurrection because it hadn't happened. But Jesus had enough evidence being shown of him before he died where some people were able to believe. But after Jesus' death, come on, Holy Ghost, help me with this. After Jesus' death, when the apostles preached and teach, and they talked about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for people to believe on him that they could receive eternal life. Because you see, the eternal life, the gift of salvation, was going to be granted through your faith in Jesus Christ, through grace. So now Jesus is gone. You see, you got to know that what happened around this time, to get you right where you need to be, the gospel first went to the Jews. But remember, they rejected it. And today, there are still many Jews that haven't accepted Christ as their Savior. They are still asking and praying to God all day long for him to send them a Messiah. They missed it, his chosen people. All of the teaching and the preaching in the synagogues, all with Jesus walking the earth and doing the miracles and all of these things, they missed it. So because they missed it, God said, I'm going to open it up for the Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles weren't allowed to receive the blessings that was extended to the Jews. They were God's promised people. They are still God's promised people today, and they will be his promised people forevermore. And they call it promise because God made a promise. So we got to understand that. So now, you know, Jesus is gone, and Peter, you know, them is preaching. But I want you to know that the book of Acts is divided into two sections. The first section that's going to go like almost half of the book is Peter. Peter ministry in Jerusalem and Samaria. And he was taking the gospel to the Jewish audience. And then God gave him a vision about what's clean and unclean. And he finally understood that the way of salvation is for everybody. And that at that point he realized that it was for the Jews as well. So he started preaching not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Now, the second half of Acts from chapter 13 to the last chapter 28 is Paul ministry. You know, many times in the Bible you hear about Paul's first missionary journey or his second missionary journey or his third missionary journey. They talking about the journeys that Paul was going on to preach the word of God, that it was for everyone. And his assignment was mostly designed for the Gentiles. Keep that in mind. You see, it is amazing that the master plan of God is unfolding by his everlasting eternal knowledge, by him knowing what would happen, when it would happen, why it would happen, and he had a master plan ready and in place to get his glory and his intended purpose. You see, there was three main feasts that was spoken of in a book of Deuteronomy, and during that time when the feast was established, God told them that he wanted them to continue to celebrate these feasts. You got to remember when we went in them books of prophets and everything, plenty of the Jews were scattered all over. You remember the Babylonians took them, the Assyrians took them one time. This place took them, you know, and then when they was freed or they was able to exile back to their homeland, all of them didn't come. So the Jews is all over, everywhere. But when these festival times would come, it was their obligation to come back. One of the festivals, they had to come back and take a census so they would know how many Jews there were. One time they had to bring their sacrifice. One time they came and they prayed and they gave thanksgiving for the crops that they would get, was going to receive. But watch how God worked. When the day of Pentecost happened, it was a feast they called Pentecost, but it was also the Festival of Weeks, and that's a festival of thanksgiving for the harvest crop. But God used these festival times because he knew that many Jews will return to Jerusalem, and whatever he wanted them to see, he had more of an audience. Come on, y'all, ain't that smart? And God used this time to get more bang for his buck. You see, if you look at the Passover time, God used that period of time when Jesus was crucified. And after he was crucified, he, you know, was buried and he resurrected. And after he resurrected, he stayed on earth 40 days after he resurrected, showing himself to some. And I want to let you know tonight that the Holy Ghost came 50 days after the resurrection. So that was 10 days after Jesus had went back and ascended into heaven. And many of the Jews from all nations was gathered in Jerusalem. See, you got to really understand how God operate and why he operate, so you could see how magnificent and magnificent cannot express his greatness, and it is beyond magnificent. And that's why sometimes it's so hard for us to comprehend. But you see, God reveals himself to us through his word. If you want to, you know, the Bible tells us that our thinking is not his thinking, and his thinking is far from us as the dew on the ground, but God reveals himself in the word of God. So here we are, the Feast of Weeks. Jesus was gone, and you know he had made this promise. So Peter get power, because you remember, you see, upon this rock I build my church. Peter makes a speech to an international audience. Remember I told you that came from all around. And other people were probably there that maybe wasn't Jews, because you know how you have a festival and people come in to sell their goods and do things like that? There's nothing new under the sun. They probably had people come in there for the wrong reason, because they knew it would be so crowded. But there was going to be an international audience, and it resulted in a worldwide harvest. harvest of new believers, and they became the first converts to Christianity. Now remember, the Jews had a religion which was called Judaism. And in Judaism, they believed in a law, but not Christ as the Savior. I know y'all still with me, right? So when these was the first people to become Christians, the Jews who still haven't accepted Christ, their religion is Judaism. Glory be to God. You see, but when we look back, we see the promise that John the Baptist spoke of being fulfilled. When we studied the book of Luke in the third chapter, which was the one we studied in verse 16, John said unto them all, I indeed baptize with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches of those shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Come on now, y'all. A promise from God. It is being fulfilled in Pentecost. And it's not the first prophecy of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus talked to the disciples all the time about him leaving and not leaving them comfortless. He said he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here we see John the Baptist words that he spoke being fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. You see, God knew we in and of ourselves are powerless against sin. And he extended his spirit to all that would believe in him. The Holy Spirit performed many functions in the believer's lives. The Bible is quite clear that the Holy Ghost is active in this world. The book of Acts, which sometimes goes by a longer title as the Acts of the Apostle. You see, the book of Acts is telling you all of the acts that the apostles did. You know, God told the apostles that you will be able to heal the sick, you know, deliver the lame, to do all of these things. You see? And the book of Acts is also called the Acts of Apostles, and that's why. Also, you got to remember that the book of Acts is when the church was established. Y'all catch this now, because next week you're going to see the icings on the cake. And the book of Acts has also opened the gift of salvation to everyone. And the Holy Spirit has many functions. The Holy Spirit is the third person, and I say person because the Holy Spirit is a person. Do you ever call on the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, help me right now. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, protect me. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit became your helper. He dwells inside of you, and not only that, he sealed you. And if you know anything about seals, especially in that time, when a seal was on something, it was authenticated. Come on now. And the seal could never be broken until the person that going to receive the sealed whatever received it. So if the Holy Ghost seals you, that seal can't be broken by no anybody, not especially not Satan. But you see, the believer, and it seals us until the day of redemption. This indicates that the Holy Ghost's presence in the believer is irrevocable. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you that I am sealed, signed, and will be delivered to Jesus Christ, my Savior, in the day of redemption. You see, he also guards and guarantees the salvation towards us. He assists us in prayer. He intercedes for God He intercedes to God for us according to the will of God. You see, the Holy Ghost ain't going to God for something that you asking for that's out of the will of God. Remember that. At the moment of salvation, the Spirit baptized the believer into the body of Christ. Once you gave the pastor your hand or whoever and God your heart, you was baptized into the body of Christ. So you all should know that you are part of the body of Christ, baptized believers in Jesus Christ. Believers receive your new birth by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comforts believers with fellowship and joy as they go through hostile situations in this world. And he gives an overflow of hope. Now, all of these things is for you. All of these things God has delivered unto you if you accept God. But it's your responsibility to tap in it, realize that, respect it for what it is, and lean on it. You know, sanctification is another work of the Holy Ghost. We're being sanctified daily. The Spirit sets himself against the desires of the flesh and lead the believer to righteousness. God say we in and of ourselves could never be righteous, but God say he has extended our righteousness. He has extended his righteousness towards us with the indwelling of his Spirit. Yes, you are made righteous by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We don't always act like it, but it's there. God has never not did his part. God does his part all the time. It's up to you to do yours. You see, the work of the flesh becomes less evidence in our lives, and the fruit of the Spirit becomes more evidence. I want you to know when people are praying for gifts and things like that, the Holy Ghost, God also gave him the ministry to be able to extend gifts. The spiritual gifts that believers possess are given by the Holy Spirit as he determined by his wisdom. The Holy Spirit has one other important role, and that is to give believers wisdom by which we can understand God. You see, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For, you know, the word of God say, who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person, which is in him. Since we have been given the amazing gift of God's Spirit inside of us, we can comprehend the thoughts of God as revealed in the scripture. And you know that, I'm sure you know that to be true, because you probably or should know more about God today than you did 10 years ago, because God is constantly allowing his Spirit to reveal him more and more to you. You see, the more you seek, the more you're going to find. The more time you put in it, the more you're going to comprehend it. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. God know the word. God took 40 men, inspired them, wrote the word of God for you. And I just want to say, no amount of human knowledge can even replace the Holy Ghost teaching. I can only give information. The Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation. The book of Acts, when the church was established by Peter, because Jesus said it, the doors was open to everyone, Jews, Gentiles alike. And there's only Jews and Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Paul, assignment and ministry was to bring the word of God to the Gentiles, and the disbursement of Jesus' Spirit here on earth to indwell in every believer. The book of Acts. And if I go into the scriptures now, I'm going to read Acts 9, 1 through 7. And the scripture reads, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughtered against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest," 2, "and desired of him a letter to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them back bound to Jerusalem. 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard the voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said to him, I am Jesus." Now this is Jesus talking to Paul, because the scripture said it. Now remember, Jesus had been buried and resurrected. He had stayed on earth 40 days, and the day of Pentecost had happened, and now Jesus is talking to Paul. He said, "I am Jesus whom thou prosecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick." He's telling him, you know, you got animals, and what they used to do is put a little a prick in a thing, and when the animal wasn't doing what they want, they used to stick him, and the animal would get irate and stuff, and they were saying the animal is doing something for you, and you torturing him in a sense. So that's what God said. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. And 6 said, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And 7 said, "And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless. They were hearing a voice, but they were seeing no man." I got to give you a little background on Paul so you can understand, because, you know, Paul wrote almost half of the New Testament, so you need to know about Paul. And it's this same Paul, but the scripture keeps saying Saul, but Saul's name was changed. And I come to give you a little information tonight. God did not change Saul's name to Paul. Paul and Saul means the same thing, but in the Hebrew, which Paul was a Hebrew, it read as Saul, and then in the Greek, it read as Paul. Now, remember, the Hebrews was the Jews, and if somebody was Greek, they was probably Roman or Gentiles. And now Paul, look what God did. Earlier we said, God gave Paul a ministry to go and preach to the Gentiles. That's anything other than a Jew. So Paul probably thought of it as being more fitting if he used the Greek name for his name, so he could, you know, fit in a little better. How you like that? Isn't the word of God awesome? He doesn't leave no wheel unturned. And you could see that everything that he did was for a reason and a season with a purpose. You see, at the age 13, Saul was sent to Israel to learn from a rabbi under whom Saul mastered Jewish history, the Psalms, and the work of the prophets. You see, they believed the Old Testament, and they believed in living by the law, and they wanted to do everything to please God, but they never accepted his son. You see, this message that they use, in a way that they use the method of articulate and debate the finer points of Jewish law to either defend or oppose those who broke the law. You see, they you know, they was law keepers. They were still law keepers. They still are keeping the law. Paul became a lawyer, and he was just about to enter and get on the Supreme Court, which was the Sanhedrin Council. That's like our Supreme Court. Ain't nothing new under the sun now. Paul was fixing to get placed on there. That's his history. You know, his parents were Pharisees, and they despise Gentiles. They call them foul, you know. So Paul, you know, had all of this teaching and learning, and that's where his beliefs came from. And that's why he was doing what he did, was doing. And he believed that he was helping God. Like these people, be these suicide bombers in Iraq and Iran and ISIS, they do this and they do it in the name of God. Because they love God so much. But you see, if they would accept his son and the Holy Ghost was living in them, he would be there to help their minds. You see, Paul's early life was marked by a zeal, a religious zeal. He later learned that it was not according to knowledge or truth. You see, he was brutal, he was violent, and relentlessly he prosecuted the early church because of his teaching. He thought that Jesus was not the Messiah. And those that believed that it was doing blasphemer against God. Paul, you know, he adhered strictly to the Lord, the laws of Moses. And he sought to protect their children from contamination for the Jews, for the Gentiles. He thought, you know, if they let these people get going and talking all of this stuff, they're going to teach our children wrong. But you see, the pivotal account in Paul's life is when he met Jesus on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus. You know, it was a journey about 150 miles, and Saul didn't want the Christians to escape him. He was angered by what he had seen and filled with murderous rage, come on, y'all, against the Christian. He was dutiful. He thought he was right. He believed he was doing something good, and he was doing it with great intentions. But you got to have the truth and the true knowledge. You see, before parting from his journey, the scripture said that he asked the priest for a letter. The reason he asked the priest, because you see, Damascus, between, you know, from Jerusalem to Damascus, he wouldn't have jurisdiction there. So he went to the king to get jurisdiction and papers and a seal that he could go to these towns, and they say, well, you don't have nothing to do with them here. He said, but I got authority from the king. That's how serious he was about his job. And that's why he was on the road to Damascus. He wanted to capture the followers. What they used to call them was the followers of the way. He wanted to take them back to Jerusalem and imprison them. He didn't want to let none of them go. That's like when the war in Vietnam and all of this was going on, and people did not want to go in the army, and what they would do is go to Canada because, you know, people in the United States didn't have jurisdiction on Canada. And these people was running to the different towns and places where Paul wouldn't have no jurisdiction, but he wasn't going to let that go down like that. He got a letter, and he started going. But what happened on the road to Damascus, a bright light from heaven caused him to fall on his face down on the ground. You know, God sometimes have to knock you down to get your attention. And then he heard these words, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And your God, Jesus, told him, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Saul became more ruthless in his pursuit of Christians as he believed he was doing what was right in the name of God. In actuality, at that time, Paul was a religious terrorist. And if we read verses 8 through 16, and Saul, see what I was telling you when Saul's name changed? Because all of these scriptures in this book of Acts where we at this point, it's talking and calling him Saul. And it says, 8 said, and Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes was open, he saw no man. But they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. He neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, rise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah. For one called Saul of Tyrus, and behold, he prayed. And 12 say, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. See, God gave Ananias a vision. God gave Saul a vision. God don't ask you to do nothing to believe something without, and he don't set you up to fail. So he wants you walking with confidence. See, the Holy Spirit is our confidence. You see? Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that has come in thy name. He said, now he have authority to go anywhere and get us. We not safe. And 15 said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Now that's when you see the ministry that God gave Paul in the purpose. It's right there. And to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And you see right there, they say for the Gentiles, the kings, and all of the children of Israel. So if he was going to bring the message to the Gentiles, but he was still bringing it to the children of Israel, which is the Jews, and all of the kings that reigned over the people. You see, from this moment on, Saul's life was turned upside down. The light of the Lord blinded him, and as he traveled on, he had to rely on his companions. Ananias, who was resisting at first to meet Paul because he knew Paul's reputation as an evil man, but the Lord told Ananias that Paul was a chosen vessel to carry his name. God never asks you to do something that will cause you harm. And he was given evidence of how he can use everyone he created for his glory. In verses 17 through 20, which is going to be our last verses, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hand on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and rose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, another point that I say that the churches was established in the book of Acts. You see, at the day of Pentecost, when Peter made that speech and the Holy Ghost was dispersed and everybody started speaking in other tongues and everybody started hearing everybody in their own language, come on, y'all, and so on, and they was having a good time and they was fellowshipping. But those people that were there had to go back home. And many of them that went back home, wherever they live, they started a church. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. You know, in the Bible, talk about the church in Galatians and the church in Philadelphia. Come on, y'all. And the church in Corinthians and the church of Thessalonica. That's how these churches got established. When some of these particular men and even women of God went back to their place, they started a church. Hallelujah. And I want y'all to know we still living in a church age. You know, Ananias followed the Lord's instruction and found Saul, on whom he laid his hand, told him of his vision of Jesus Christ, and through prayer, Saul received the Holy Ghost, received his sight, and was baptized. Saul, immediately, Saul, who we know as Paul, immediately went into the synagogue proclaiming Jesus and saying that he is the Son of God. You see, the people were amazed and skeptical at the same time, because you see, it was this Paul whose reputation was well known. And the Jews wasn't even convinced that he wasn't there to take the Christians away. But you see, Paul stood with boldness, and his boldness increased as the Jews living in Damascus was confounded by Saul's argument proving that Jesus was the Christ. And I close with to let you know this. This is a prime example of how God has a purpose and a design for each and every one of our lives. God don't make no mistakes. He never allows our past to dictate our future. And God can use everyone for his glory. I pray that you got an understanding of the book of Acts, because it's the history. And you need to know the history to go forward. You know, where we done went up until now, we done did the first four books of the gospel, and we in Acts. Jesus Christ, Jesus go, the church is formulated, the Holy Ghost come. That's where we at. So, you know, it's so amazing to me, because this is my first time doing the books one by one by one by one by one. But since I've been doing it, I am so amazed how it all fits in place. And not just fit there, but it has a purpose and a design and a season and a time. Come on now. And how beautifully God orchestrated it for us. You know, when I taught on why did Jesus have to, you know, die or leave, it was all for us. He was born for us. He had to come. God had to become flesh. Come on now. To be born, to become a sacrifice for man. It had to be a man. And God allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh and being incarnated, hallelujah, as Jesus Christ for us. Then Jesus died for us. He allowed himself to be buried in a borrowed tomb for us. And he rose from the dead for us. And he went back to the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. And now, tonight, in the book of Acts, he let the Holy Spirit live in us, for us. And he established the church for us, that we could have a place to fellowship one with another and learn more of him for us. So I pray tonight that you could see that all God has done, is doing, and planning to do is for us. And we should become more grateful and thankful. You know, when you say you're thankful, how you prove that you're thankful is in your obedience. I'm not telling you're going to be perfect. If God knew that even one of us could become purpose, he wouldn't have had to send his son, because we would have to get it through us, by us, by any means necessary. But just let's be better today than we was yesterday. Let us grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I have to tell you, if you do, don't get excited like you're doing something for God. Because if you do, it is for you. Because God has set it all up for us. And that's the lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to make a comment, you could press the one button on your phone. You know that next week we're going to be in the book of Romans, and we right at the 9:30 hour, and I'm so pumped up. But Paul, that same Saul we're talking about tonight, that used his Greek name, Paul is the one that wrote the 13 epistles, the letters, the books in the Bible. And all of those letters he was writing was to churches, person. But we're going to break that down more next week. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out your schedule, and that we explore the Word of God together. And since no one have anything to say at this time, we're going to close off the program for tonight. But I want you to know that I'm excited. And I pray that you feel the same way. Pray to the Holy Ghost to give you clarity in the things you're learning. Speak to the Holy Ghost. You know, he's do that. God has his purpose. Jesus has his purpose. The Holy Ghost has their purpose. All of the purposes in one completeness as the Godhead for you. And tonight, as I close, I just want to say thank you, Holy Ghost. And I pray that each and every one of us continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our God, which we can only do it by going to the Word of God and exploring it together. So that's our program for tonight. I pray that you be blessed and that we'll meet again, if it's the Lord's will. Next week we'll be in the book of Romans. And I just want to thank you guys. And I want to thank you, God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Ghost. That's it for tonight. And be blessed.